Welcome to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on SiriusXM 129. If you want to listen to more of America This Week, subscribe to SiriusXM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern to the Catholic Channel, SiriusXM 129. Now back to America This Week, live with Father Matt Malone and Carrie Weber.
We are back. You're listening to America This Week on the Catholic Channel, SiriusXM 129. I am Carrie Weber. I'm with Father Matt Malone, and we are speaking with Robert Ellsberg, who is the author, among other books, of Blessed Among Us, Day by Day with Saintly Witnesses. And we're talking about the saints, and we invite you to give us a call and tell us your favorite saints. Whose intercession do you call upon when you are in a time of need or in a time of joy? You can give us a call at 1-888-322-8465. That's 1-888-3-CATHOLIC. Robert, I want to just go back a little bit to the fact that we mentioned earlier that you knew Dorothy Day, who is a potential future saint. And I think it's an interesting reminder, especially with several of the recent canonizations of St. Pope John Paul II, etc., people that you and I have seen, experienced, perhaps met in our lifetime, that the saints are not just something that sort of happened in the past, and then there are holy people, and now we remember them, but people are happy and holy right now, and that it's still possible to become a saint. And, you know, like, when you were with Dorothy Day, were you thinking, this woman is a saint, or were you thinking, like, oh my gosh, she's driving me nuts, you know?
Well, those are not mutually exclusive.
They're not mutually exclusive, right, exactly.
Someone once said the Catholic worker is made up of saints and martyrs. You have to be a martyr to put up with all those saints. I worked with Dorothy Day, as it turned out, for the last 5 years of her life, and I wouldn't be here today if it weren't for that experience. But she's certainly, it was no question in my mind that this was a holy woman, and that wasn't really, going out on a limb. But what it taught me was, very much was that holy people are ordinary people like us. They have their faults. They can lose their temper. They can be short with people. And Dorothy records all of that in her diaries, which I edited a few years ago, very frank about her own shortcomings. And we know about them because she writes about them and her own struggles to overcome them.
Right. And that self-awareness, that searching to recognize those things and overcome those things, I think, imagine, is part of what makes someone holy. You know, that process of understanding, who you are and who you want to be and what you need to do to get there.
Dorothy called her column on pilgrimage. And I think that that idea that we're on a journey, we're going somewhere, there's a goal. And it's for Christians, anyone who's baptized, it's a path of holiness that we're walking. And some people travel a very long distance, and some of them are recognized and canonized by the church. But if we put the emphasis on that path to holiness, it people who are walking that path, it says more about what we have in common with the saints rather than the huge gulf that separates us from people who have those kind of achievements.
You're listening to America This Week on the Catholic Channel. We're talking with Robert Ellsberg about saintly witnesses. You can join the conversation at 888-322-8465, and we have Bill on the line from Ohio. How are you, Bill?
Hello.
Welcome to America This Week.
Thank you.
So, Bill, who is your favorite saint?
Well, I asked for two, and she said I could. The first is the one from whom I got my confirmation, named St. Isidore the Farmer. You need to understand that I only came into the church in 2014.
Oh, welcome.
And I admire his work ethic. It kind of parallels my own. There's nothing flashy about it. You just stay at it, get your job done, and remember to give thanks for being able to do that.
A worthy philosophy.
Yeah, and I'm also St. Michael because I had a career in law enforcement, and his intercession was sought for several times during those years.
Okay.
My parish has a Eucharistic chapel, and it's staffed 24/7 by volunteers, by parishioners who sign up and like I go on Tuesdays from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. and somebody else goes the rest of the time. We fill the whole thing.
Those are both, if I can say, interesting choices. They're both included in my book. And St. Michael is interesting because, you know, one of the archangels, here's a saint who was not actually a physical human being. So a little difficult for us to imitate his life, but embodying certain kinds of virtues as Raphael and Gabriel as well. In the case of St. Isidore, what's interesting about him, he was just a lowly farm worker who was canonized in the same time as great saints like Ignatius Loyola and Philip Neri. And so you in the canon of saints, there are relatively few of these just sort of ordinary people, the kind of people we might meet in church or at work every day. And I'm trying to fill the gaps a little bit to include and call more attention to people like that.
All right, Bill, thanks so much for the call. We also have Victor on the line from Georgia. Hello, Victor.
Yeah.
Welcome to America This Week.
Thank you.
What's on your mind?
Well, I wanted to talk about my favorite saint, at least for this week, who would be St. Simon, because I live on St. Simon's Island, Georgia, and the island just got hit with that hurricane.
Oh,
hurricane
my gosh.
Matthew. And our house, my family and I, we actually don't know much about St. Simon, but we said, hey, this island's named after you. Could you look over? They evacuated the entire island, and we prayed, hey, could you ask God to look over the island for us? And lo and behold, our house it had a little bit of a couple screens got ripped, and that was it. And I'm convinced there was somebody looking over the island because our neighbors, they had trees fall away from their house, and we had trees fall away from our house, but the trees fell in opposite directions. But the wind was only blowing in one direction. Right, the wind was blowing westerly. Their trees fell eastward. Our trees fell westward, but they're right next to each other. But they both fell away from the house.
Wow, that's amazing.
Saint Simon is my favorite saint this week.
Okay, fair enough. Well, thank you very much, Victor.
And, does Simon make it into your book as well, Robert?
Well, it depends who we're talking about.
Yeah, which one?
There's Simeon Stylites, who perched on a pillar for 40 years.
Right.
There's Simon Peter. There is St. Simon Cyrene, who carried the cross for Jesus.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So maybe that's extra effective.
So, Simon, invoke all of the Simons. a lot of power there.
But this is interesting, isn't it? Like for ages and ages and ages, people have invoked the saints in moments of peril and crisis like this. And there's something really important about that, isn't there?
I think that for a long time that represented people's primary relationship with the saints as patrons, who had kind of access to power and could bestow favors on us as kind of wonder workers and from heaven. Every kind of guild and profession would have its own patron saint. And that's still important. And Dorothy Day honored that tradition, too, by always praying to St. Joseph, the patron of the Catholic worker, the saint of workers. I think that it's nice to feel that there are some saint that we have a particular kind of relationship with. But I don't think, the church emphasizes so much the idea that we need to grab onto the shirt sleeves of the saint to approach God.
Right.
I think that the emphasis is a little bit more now on holy people who kind of embodied evangelical values that can inspire us to imitation.
Right.
I think sometimes as I've grown in my relationship with various saints, I think that I've moved slightly away. I still invoke saints when I'm in need, but I also kind of see them more on a friend level, in a sense. Someone that I might roll my eyes at as well, or say, oh gosh, did you see that, Catherine McCauley, or did you, and kind of, or share a joy with as well. So, this thing that I think, oh, I think this saint would have appreciated this moment. So
Would have had a laugh.
Yeah, like, did you get a look at this from up there? I don't know. There's more ways to kind of interact or with with the saints or just remember parts of their lives and the ways that they still relate.
I couldn't agree more, yeah.
Does Orbis have a patron?
The publishing house?
Yeah.
Gosh, I...
America Magazine does. Ours is Edmund Campion.
Wow, now you've given me something to think about. Many holy... I would say,
you
know what...
You're going to be in trouble if you need to invoke somebody.
I've got one for you.
Yeah.
Orbis was started in 1970 with the kind of... the purpose was to amplify voices from the margins, to kind of give voice to the voiceless. And so we were really built on the... paying attention to what was happening, for instance, in Latin America. I would say that our patron saint is Blessed Oscar Romero, who died in 1980 and was just recently beatified. We published his works and many books about him, and we've just published, in fact, this week, a book of his pastoral letters.
Right.
So I would say Oscar Romero is one of them.
Don't commit too easily.
He's a real beatified.
You may as well have a team if you can do it.
Now, what was the what surprised you when you were putting this together?
Well, a lot of these people were, you know, fairly unfamiliar to me. You know, one of the things I struggled for was to have a balance of men and women in the book, and as well as in the monthly, Give Us This Day journal. And there you run across the fact that women represent only about 20% of the official Catholic saints. So in order to, you know, establish that balance, I really had to look into just about every, you know, beatified or canonized woman saint in history. So a lot of these were stories that were very unfamiliar to me and tend to be kind of obscure. But it also sent me looking in new directions, for instance, lots of founders of religious communities. I've been helped to a certain extent by many religious... I should be careful what I say here, but I get letters all the time from people saying, here's somebody we'd like to propose. The founder of our community is something, you know, that I think you would like. And if it seems like somebody that I respond to and have something to say about, I've been most grateful for those suggestions.
Wow.
No, that makes sense. Now, the actual process of canonizing somebody, I think, is something that's, it's complicated. It takes a long time. It often takes a lot of money. Mm-hmm. I think in some ways people have become a little bit jaded by it, in a sense. If you think of saints as people who only have, you know, the backing able to pay to make them saints, or to establish, gather the paperwork and get the seals and the translations and all those things. And so what I like about this book is that it kind of helps to lift up those voices without that sort of bureaucratic process around it.
Well, you would search in vain, you know, in the Gospels for any place where there's any description of this long, you know, of a pope or a process or a congregation on saints. And yet you have St. Paul writing to the saints in Corinth. He addressed the Christian community as saints. You could say they were saints in making, saints in potential, saints by virtue of their desire to be saints, and not just singling out, you know, certain kinds of individuals. So I think that says something to us about what the underlying meaning of that term is.
And we always have to remember that there are more saints than have been canonized. I mean, every soul in heaven is a saint.
Well, that's you referred to the Feast of All Saints, which inspired the title of my first book. That's a day in the calendar when we remember not just all the canonized saints, but all of the saints, the vast majority of whom will never be canonized, many of them known only to God alone. And it's also a feast that reminds us of the great diversity and paths to holiness. Yes, there were some who were bishops and theologians and monks and priests and nuns and that sort of thing.
But in spite of that, they became saints. All,
yes, or they didn't become a saint because of those things.
Right.
And I think that's really important to expand the kind of, you know, models, because we tend to think of, oh, saints, that's for priests or nuns or religious or something, not for ordinary people like us.
Yeah. Well, the book is called Blessed Among Us, Day by Day with Saintly Witnesses by Robert Elsberg. It's available from Give Us This Day, and be sure to pick it up and walk with the saints throughout the year. Robert, thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, it's been a great pleasure. Thank you.
Okay. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the state of Catholic-Muslim relations in the United States. You're listening to America This Week on the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. If you want to hear the full show every week, subscribe to Sirius XM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern to the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.